Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us for the conversation on this Monday morning, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, thank you for dropping by on this Monday morning. It does promise to be a very busy week ahead, so very timely that you're joining us today. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Dan. I hope you had a great weekend.
Likewise. Thank you, Shane. So I know as we're speaking, President Trump is getting ready to embark on his second overseas trip as president in his second term. He will be spending the next several days in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, as well as the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, and this will be his first trip to the Middle East in his second term. So what will be the focuses and objectives of this trip?
Yeah, well, the first point I would make, actually, is that this was supposed to be his first trip. As you noted, this is his second trip abroad, because the first one ended up being for Pope Francis's funeral. So this is his second trip. As you and I have regularly talked about, sometimes the headline is very different from, the purpose. Headline right now is kind of this fixation over the Qataris gifting President Trump a plane that would become Air Force One, but then I believe he would take with him in retirement. So that is kind of the headline of, is this gift even legal and, should he be accepting it? But the focus on this trip is investment in the U.S., totaling about $1 trillion of investment. Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia has pledged some $600 billion in investments over the U.S. in the U.S. over the next 4 years. So that is a important to President Trump. Additionally, obviously, relations between the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and also the Saudi Arabia-Israel relationship will be top tier. Along with, additional sales of military arms and energy. So a lot going on with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar. As I mentioned, the kind of topic would probably be this plane. However, there is a lot more going on there. I think this will be a little bit AI centric. It's reported that OpenAI CEO Sam Altman will be traveling to the Gulf during Trump's visit. And so I think OpenAI has declined to comment, but I think there is a nexus there that we, should be paying attention to as well. So a lot going on here with this visit to these three countries in the Middle East. And I think it is important to Trump as he sees, investment in the U.S. as going to be kind of a cornerstone of his presidency.
So it sounds like we will be seeing a lot of headlines emerging from this trip in the coming days, though it's important to note that over the weekend, it was quite busy for Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, among others, traveled to Switzerland as trade negotiations commenced with Chinese officials. Now, it was announced on Sunday that a trade deal of sorts was reached. So with that, Shane, can you provide us with a bit of clarity around the terms of this deal and potential next steps?
Yeah, this seems to be, obviously it's welcome news to see the pressure and being taken down that, tensions have been very high, especially on the trade front with China the past month. And this was, I think, well received to see, a little bit of a de-escalation here. And within that de-escalation, there was no real deal. It was more of this 90-day pause that we've seen Trump utilize with trade with other countries. So, we now have a 90-day pause, and instead of 145% tariffs on Chinese imports to the U.S., it is down to 30%. And China has reduced their 125% tariffs down to 10%. So this is a massive de-escalation for 90 days. But I think, as maybe we've talked about with other trade deals, this is going to be very complicated. And, I have to question if they can get all of this done in 90 days. Trade deals often take years. So even with a team working, 90 days straight, I'm unclear you know, how much they can accomplish. I think the more realistic outcome is in 90 days, you know, maybe some pieces of the deal are negotiated while other pieces are going to take longer. And, you know, maybe another 90-day pause after that for things that are not finalized. So, you know, this is, I think we should view it from the perspective that a positive development, but there's probably more to come that lasts beyond 90 days. This is going to be pretty important, I think, to the Trump presidency. So, you know, I think they'll agree to things they can, but not just get a deal to get a deal in that 90 days. I think President Trump will push hard here, but we'll see how negotiations pan out. As we've seen before, negotiations can go very well, or they could, you know, take a detour and not go well for a period of time. So, you know, this will be a very interesting issue to follow.
Shane, very helpful clarity. So thank you for that. I'm curious, outside of these recent developments with China, we did hear about a deal with the United Kingdom last Thursday. What other progress has been made on the trade front recently?
Yeah, so obviously that was two welcome news from the market perspective to see progress being made, especially with one of our larger trading partners. To me, it was very noteworthy that, you know, there still is kind of a bare minimum 10% tariff in place. And I was kind of always wondering if, you know, that would be the eventual outcome of a lot of these negotiations, you know. So with that in mind, I was wondering how markets would react to that. And I think markets have been favorable in the sense that they see progress being made. But, you know, with respect to this trade deal, you know, it's not done. It's just an agreement, right? And while they work out the details. So a lot more to be done on this trade agreement. And to your point, you know, there are a number of other countries that are at the table. And I think we're going to see more deals announced in the coming weeks. Kind of similar where, you know, things may be done in isolation, whether it be with respect to steel, steel tariffs or aluminum or autos. You know, it depends on every country. I think as we've talked about, many of these trade deals we'll see are going to be bespoke, in Treasury Secretary Bessent's own words, because we have very unique issues with every certain country that they're going to be negotiating with. So I think with the de-escalation we're seeing, more de-escalation is soon to come.
So if we step outside of trade for a moment, Shane, do you want to turn focus to Capitol Hill? Congressional Republicans continue to work on crafting legislation aimed at extending the Trump tax cuts. Where does that all stand today?
Yes. Well, today is going to be a big day. You know, I'm actually back up on Friday. The House Ways and Means Committee, which is the tax writing committee in the House, released a 28-page bill for renewal of some of the 2017 tax cuts. However, that was just the kind of the first piece of the puzzle. Later today, we expect them to release more legislative text, probably hundreds of pages, with the intent to hold a markup tomorrow, Tuesday at 2 p.m. And that markup will probably last almost 24 hours or so. We'll see how long it goes. But the goal at this point is, you know, we're going to see this bill probably in its totality today, with the Ways and Means Committee finishing it by, you know, probably sometime on Wednesday. And as the other committees with jurisdiction are finishing up their work, that should hopefully, to Republicans, tee up a bill to be on the full House floor next week so that they can finish this off from the House perspective before Memorial Day. So we're going to find out a lot of important details on the tax front today. So a lot of information will be, you know, being put out over the coming days. And I think, you know, it'll be like drinking from fire hose. But I think what's really important to keep in mind is that these details are going to change, right? You know, some details may change before the bill even gets to the House floor next week, as the committees who do not sit on Ways and Means, the members who do not sit on the Ways and Means Committee may have some impact and get some provisions changed. But also, I think, you know, when the Senate gets to work probably after Memorial Day in June, they will put their own imprint on this bill. So this is a very fluid process, but I think we're now getting into the meat of the process, and it's going to be a very active summer on the tax front.
Well, Shane, I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about specific to the progress with tax legislation in the weeks ahead, coupled with some of these other trade and geopolitical topics. So this was a very helpful touch base to begin. As I mentioned, we'll be a busy week ahead. So thank you, Shane, for joining our listeners and their clients and keeping them informed.
Well, thank you again for having me. Look forward to catching up with you all soon.
Likewise. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. And as always, I do like to point out that the latest Washington Weekly publication is now available up on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.